Good morning. Good morning. Good to see you all here, and welcome to all those who are online. And we're having a beautiful day, I think, so far. And you know, one of the things about our culture is slang, and we take all kinds of words and turn them into slang. And one of the words that we use that applies today, as you can see by this lovely picture, is gold. We call things that are like really good and awesome, we say that was golden, you know. Or like I've heard some guys, I don't know if my kids have used it, but I think one of my sons does, like when he does a really sweet move on Apex or something, you know, it's like he takes someone out and he's like, that was golden, you know. And so it's just a sense of, you know, the gold standard is another one that we use. That's a phrase that on a financial level has absolutely no meaning anymore, if you know what that is. Our country operates, well, ish, by a gold standard. But it's also a term that says, you know, like this is the gold standard. Like this is one of the, this is a great example or one of the best examples of whatever it is you're talking about. You know, you stick that stamp on something, you know. Or another one is, as you can see on the title here, is pure gold. You know, that's just pure gold. I've heard that, I've probably used that many times, you know, in different things when you're talking about something that's really funny, or you'll even see a situation where maybe it's a little just unorthodox or something like that. Like it was just almost a, you know, America's Funniest Videos moment, you know, or something. You just, oh, that's just pure gold. That's so funny. You know, it's like, you can't make that stuff up, you know. So we use these terms and gold to describe something that's of excellence or that's just really valuable. And, you know, even all the way up to like the golden age, if you're thinking about the golden age just during a time like, golden age of whatever. Right now, not that many of you care, but they're talking about this is the golden age of board games. So you're kind of like, really? Okay. But, you know, there's just the golden age of this, the golden age of that. Throughout history, that was that the pinnacle of that, whatever that thing, cultural thing was, it was like that was the best of it. Or some of you are going into your supposedly your golden years. You know, those are the time of your life where everything, you know, it's just all wonderful and sunshine and butterflies and rainbows, right? As that's what happens as you kind of are, you know, getting near the end of your life. We call that the golden years. And, you know, I guess the show that would represent that much would be the Golden Girls, and which is, you know, I don't know. That was a pretty interesting show. But, yeah, never mind. So we have this term golden, which represents a lot of things. And one of the things that I want to talk about today, we're in the Sermon on the Mount, and we're just going to talk about one verse today. And most of you probably figured out right now, we're going to talk about the golden rule. And this is definitely something, it's one of the teachings of Jesus that is one of those gold standards. This is like pure gold. It is something that if we live by it, it really sums up how we're supposed to interact and relate with one another. If you were to look at this, you know, you look at the scripture, we'll get to it in a second, but as a guide to like how to live an unselfish, like how unselfish love plays out in action, you couldn't really improve on this very much. It is the gold standard. It is like pure gold. It is really awesome. And one of the reasons why it's so awesome is because it comes from the great commandments, which are love the Lord your God and love people, right? Love people, love your neighbor as yourself. And so this command, this gold standard comes from that. And it's Matthew 7:12. It says, so in everything, do unto others what you would have them do unto you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Do unto others, the golden rule. It's throughout all kinds of cultures, throughout history. This has been something that's been played out or, you know, repeated many, many times. And the reason it is the golden rule is because there was a guy, he's a Roman emperor, and his name was Alexander Servius. And he was not a Christian, but he took what Jesus said, and it so impressed him that he would write it on walls in public settings. And the place that he had it most prominent was in his private chambers, where he had it up on the wall, and he had it in pure gold. And that was considered the golden rule, and that's where that term comes from. It was so influential in his life. I mean, it was just, it's short, it's succinct, and you look at it and you think, that is pure gold. That is really, really good. And so we want to look at that a little bit today. But even beyond the fact that it's pure gold, even if you think about it like on that level, like on a slang term, you know, it is pretty cool. But one of the things I like about this phrase or this teaching that Jesus says is the Word of God goes beyond just like healthy principles or, you know what I mean, or this is a guiding light for me, which it is those things. I get that. But like we said, I think last week or the week before, talked about in Psalm 19 that the Word of God, talking about what the Word of God is and its value, but in Psalm 19 it says that it is more precious than gold, even the finest gold. So this is something that's just more than just this, that's just a really cool saying. This is more than a bumper sticker slogan. So I don't want to, you know, when I say it's pure gold or something like that, I want to be able to say the value of that just goes way beyond just that, just a slogan. It's a life-changing, life-giving thing that we can live by. And it sums up, as we'll see in a minute, it sums up a lot about what Jesus is trying to teach and how we're supposed to live in our relationship to one another. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And that's kind of the more famous or more popular way of saying it, which is kind of the King James way of saying it, as opposed to what we have up here, which is from the New Living Translation. But can you read that up there? Is that easy? Yeah, okay. I was looking back there on that TV, and it's kind of hard to read, so, but you guys can see that good. So, anyways, moving on. So this principle, this thing, this teaching of Jesus is, it's once again in the Sermon on the Mount, and it's near the end, and we have a few more weeks that we will be doing on the Sermon on the Mount. But once again, this is kind of this thing that Jesus speaks out. It's like this standalone phrase that we can grab onto and really hold onto, and it's kind of a, if you want to call it a nutshell, once again, I want to be careful about calling it that, but it is a nutshell of a lot of the our you know, interactions with one another and our relationship with one another that Jesus has been trying to teach us. So let's look at the scripture. The first word, so, it says, so in everything. So is what connects it. So when it says so, he's talking about connecting it to everything that we had just learned. We've been through, I don't know how long we've been in the Sermon on the Mount, but it's since chapter 5. You know, so 5, 6, and 7 is in the book of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount. And so when Jesus is saying so, he is saying it's connecting it to all this stuff that we've learned over the last several months, all this stuff that he has taught. And there is a lot there. But he's so in everything. So in everything. So this does not say, it doesn't say do unto others as they have done unto you, right? It's do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So there's no qualifying thing in the sense of like this only applies in certain situations. Because oftentimes, you know, we can look at something like that and we can say, okay, I'll do that when the other person starts reciprocating or when the other person quits being so mean. And I've said that many times, and I've heard it many times. When two people are going at each other, you're like, hey, be nice to each other. And they're like, well, I'll be nice when they be nice. And this does not say that. This leaves no wiggle room at all. It's saying, in everything. So, all of this teaching I had, in everything, in every situation of life, let's do unto others. So that really, really, really annoying student in your math class, you know, if you're a teacher, or if you're a student and your fellow students, you know, in your biology class who just keeps tormenting you, or maybe the guy in the hall, or maybe you have a coworker, you know, whatever it is, that person who you really wish would be nice to you, he's saying, do to them what you would have them do to you. Don't wait for them to be nice first. And that's really, really challenging. So I'm not saying that what Jesus is teaching us here is easy. And most of what he's challenging us in is not easy at all. It is a challenge. It's like, you know, when Jesus says, you know, all you who are weary, you know, come to me, I will give you rest. That is very true. But he also tells us to take up our cross daily. So this thing we call following Jesus, being a Christian, is very, very challenging. But the beauty of it is we have the Holy Spirit, and we have Jesus who's with us, walking with us. We have the love of the Father, which enables us to be able to do this stuff. So, in everything, there's no, you know, well, don't have to do it here, don't have to do it here. He's saying, in everything, do to others as you would have done to you. Do to others as you would have done to you. Another thing about this is that it's not, it's interesting, just reading about this, and I never thought about this way because I've always just heard this version of it, the version that Jesus gave. But He had contemporaries at the time, roughly, you know, plus or minus 50, 60 to 100 years, plus many, many other cultural religions people groups would use a very similar thing like this. But the difference was, is they would say, don't do to others the things that you don't want done to you. So it was a negative form of this thing, which you kind of think, well, okay, well, that's what's the difference? There's a huge difference. Because when you say to someone, don't do that, like when you're saying to your brothers or your kids are fighting or you're saying to a couple who's fighting or someone else, you know, be kind or don't do that. Don't do that. Don't be mean, I guess. That's different than saying be kind. Because all that don't be doing something, you know, like don't be mean to your neighbor. Okay, that's easy. Just ignore them then. You know, that's simple. But the one thing that set Jesus apart, and from what I can tell, he was one of the first to say it. I mean, in the positive sense, and possibly the only, in the original. But he was saying, beyond that, this is love in action. Do unto others. That's not passive. You can't just ignore people, because he's telling you to do unto other people. So you can't just sit back and say, you know, okay, well, I'm going to, you know, just not be mean. That's great. But God is saying, no, I want you to be move beyond that. I want you to actually be kind. And I want that to play out in your life. So this is not just a simple sit back and relax. This is an active love in action thing, which our world needs desperately. We really, really do. We need people to be doing unto others the things they want done to them. Love in action. We really, really need it. When you think about it, in the positive form, I mean, it just moves it once again from this passive thing to this far-reaching, far-reaching life principle, or you know, it affects all of us. It affects everything that we do, because then it's more wherever you go. That means at work, at play, at you know, shopping, at wherever, whatever it is you're doing. If he's saying do to others in all of those situations, he's asking you to do something. So it really, really impacts our lives. Another thing about this is a command. And I like the story this morning, you know, it's like build your life on the rock. Well, one of the reasons we do that is by obeying what Jesus says, right? So we have the the Pharisees came to Jesus and they're like, hey, what is the greatest commandment? And he's like, well, love God. Okay, well, how do you do that? Well, you love people, right? So how do you do that? Well, one of the ways that we love God by loving people is we obey his commands. So we love God, actually, swap that around, sorry. We love God by, first of all, obeying him. And then when we obey him, what did he command us to do? Well, the next part of that command was love people. So we love God, we do that by obeying him, which is we do that by loving people. And then, well, how do we love people? Well, do unto others. So this is part of that. It's all part of this kind of thread of thought. It's like he's not suggesting it. It's not a suggestion. The greatest commandment is to love God and then to love people. So how do we do that? Do unto others. So you want to build your life upon the rock of Jesus Christ? Love other people. How do you do that? Well, be kind. Be whatever it is you want people to do to you. And kind of going fast here because, time. But there's not, if you think about the scripture, you don't really need to commentate on it a whole lot. I mean, so in everything, do unto others what you would have them do to you. Go. I mean, honestly, right? I mean, how hard is that? That's what makes it so amazing. And so beautiful to me. What do I do with my life? Well, here's a start. How do I love people right now in my culture? There you go. How do I love my neighbor? It's so, so simple. It'd be very, very challenging to do. I get that. One of the things I love about this command, too, is that it comes from God. It comes from Jesus, who is the ultimate in the expression of love and self-sacrifice. It's not just, he's not just saying this, hey, here's something, go do this, see you later. But he came, for God so loved the world, right? He gave his one and only son. So he, out of his love, we see these things that God does. He just, this empowering love that he has. Jesus comes and dies on the cross for our sins. He sets us free from sin and death. And then he says, I am going away so that the Holy Spirit can come. And then the Holy Spirit comes and empowers us to do the things that he's asking us to do. So one of the things we need to be really clear about this is this isn't just this humanistic kumbaya, let's just love everybody. Because apart from the power of the Holy Spirit, this is pretty much impossible to do for the long haul. We can fake it for a while, but without the life-giving presence of the Holy Spirit to really change our hearts and soften our hearts, we can't do this kind of stuff. It's super challenging. But God, the love of God the Father, is backing us up. So when he says, do unto others, he's with us. He's walking with us. He's enabled us to be able to do it by the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. And to me, that's super, super encouraging. So what are some practical ways we work this out? We'll just hop to that. One of the things that we have up over there on the wall, it says, bless to live, live to bless. And I really believe that this is a reflection of that. We have been so blessed. When you have a relationship with Jesus, when you have tasted the grace of Jesus Christ in your life, the forgiveness of sins, and you have yielded your life to him, and he is now the Lord of your life, he is the Savior of your life, it affects us here and now. And you truly have put yourself into a place to be blessed by him, to receive his love, to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. So we are blessed over there to live. We are blessed to live our lives, but it doesn't stop there. Now let's live to bless. Let's go out and be the kind of people who do for others what we would have them do for us. Let's go bless people. And we really need to do that. So what are some things? I'm going to say a few, and then I want you guys to shout a few things out, okay? So thinking about you, think about this for a minute. You, what are some of the things that you really like people to do for you? You'd want them to do for you. So one of them for me is to assume the best. I think sometimes we get in so much trouble when we see a situation and immediately we just tailspin into all these assumptions that are completely wrong. Instead of giving someone, or another way of saying it is to give the benefit of the doubt. I would really love that. I mean, I think most of you would too, you know. Say you do legitimately screw up. Instead of, you know, people coming in like with the hammer, is they come in and they assume, okay, maybe he was having a bad day, you know. Someone says something to me or they're a little snitty or I say hi to him at church and they walk by. Well, maybe they had something they were focused on. You know what I'm saying? I think that's a really good one. So I can give them the benefit of the doubt. What's another one? Something else. You're going to have to shout it out because you got masks on. I can't hear you. Anyone? What's something you'd like people to do for you? Nothing? You guys don't like people being nice to you? All right. That's good. Cool. Come on. Listen. That's a huge one. How many of you guys like to be listened to? Isn't it nice to be around someone who just spends some time and you can talk and you know not only are they there and not only are they hearing, but they're actually listening? It's like they don't have their phone out. They're not like distracted. They're actually present with you. That's a beautiful one. So let's be people who go out and listen. That one's great. What's another one? Check in on each other. That's a great one, yeah. You know, if you're feeling kind of, just maybe lost or lonely, maybe you'd be like, I'd really love someone to check in on me. Call somebody. Check in on somebody. I really believe that the Holy Spirit, when we allow him to speak to us, will tell you all the time. You know, you'll get a name. Oh, hey, you know, I haven't thought about so-and-so for a long time. I bet most of the time that's the Holy Spirit telling you, you should call him or text him or check in with her, you know, whatever it is. That's a great one. Because I like that. When people check in with me, just, how you doing? Great. Cool. All right. If you're more talkative, you'll probably say more than that, but I'm good with that. All right, bye. So, what's another one? Anything else? What? Food. Oh, yes. So that's like really, that's a tangible one. Bless me with food. I've been blessed. Oh. Yes. But surprise someone with something, you know. It is nice. It is nice because that's also that kind of that checking in, that thoughtful ways that we can really say, hey, I acknowledge your presence. And sometimes it's a very tangible way like that. That's awesome. What's another one? Forgive. Oh, that's so hard though, Trevor. But if you look at it like that, yes, how many would like to be forgiven? Would you like people to forgive you quickly? I mean, yes, totally. So then let's be people who forgive quickly. Because also that's another very prominent command in Scripture. That's one of the foundations of the gospel, is that we can receive forgiveness for our sins, which allows us to go and forgive others when they sin against us, right? Lord's Prayer, part of the Sermon on the Mount, we learned several weeks, months ago. I don't know how long it is. What's another one? This is good. Like lab. We're in lab class right now, so. How about honest? Isn't it really nice when people are honest with you? Like, you're talking with them, and they're like, dude, you got a piece of salad stuck in your teeth? I mean, I'd rather have that than go all day. I mean, that's a minor thing about honesty, but, you know, just trying to loosen you up a bit, okay? Honesty, though. We want people to be honest with us, right? About everything, about, you know, I think as parents when you're acknowledged, you know, interacting with your children, you want your kids to be honest with you. You want your coworkers to be honest with you. You want the people around you to be honest with you. And I don't mean just like, you know, telling you the truth in love. I mean like they just speak life, right? What's another one? Any more? What's that? Encourage? Yeah. Does anyone not like to be encouraged? I do. You guys ever heard of the love languages? There's like, I think it's, is it Gary Chapman? No, not Chapman. Is it Smalley? Smalley? Gary Smalley does it, yeah. Anyways, there's the love languages. But, you know, what's interesting is that think about yourself and like what, everyone has different things that really, you know, like, I'm not real big on cards. Like if you write me a card, I'm kind of like, that's cool. You know, I appreciate it, but, and so it's hard for me to be that kind of person that gives cards, because I'm like, but if I want to do unto others, if I want to be encouraged, then sometimes it takes a little study into how other people feel encouraged. So that's another thing I like about this, is it pushes us past just the to-do list, but we actually need to engage with people and kind of maybe learn about who they are. So how can we encourage them? You know, some people, their love language is gifts. It's like, show me the money, you know. There's just different things. Sometimes it's quality time. Some people, you know, they don't necessarily need a gift. They don't need a card. They don't even need words of affirmation necessarily. They just like being with you, where they have your attention. You know, that's a way of encouraging people. And when we figure out what our love language is, it's probably a good idea to figure out, well, what are the people around me? How can I encourage them? Because they're probably going to be a little different. So yeah, encouraging, but that's what I like about this. It's just a very simple principle, but then you start seeing, wait a minute, this means this is an active, this is love in action. So I got to go out and actually, like, I got to listen. I got to understand. I got to figure out, you know, what's encouraging for people, and then I can do that. That's good. Good stuff. There's another one just with our words. So the Bible tells us not to curse, right? And in many places, it tells us to bless. So like if we're to live to bless, like it says over there on the wall, it's more than just not cursing. So I really, really encourage you in your life. It's really easy to say all such and such people, like all Republicans are idiots, or all Democrats are idiots, or, you know, how could you be a Christian and that? You know, and I get there are certain things that, yes, like how could you be a Christian and not believe that Jesus is the Son of God? You got a valid point there, okay? I get that. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, I think sometimes we curse people. We speak things out. We just, our first reaction is to demean and to devalue people. And yet, when people do it to us, it's like, you know, the injustice of it all. How dare they say that about me? They don't even know me. Well, did you just say that about someone else, you know? I think we really need to be a people that blesses. Let the first thing that comes out of our mouth bless others. That's huge. Do to others. I mean, I don't think there's a person in the room that wants to get, you know, cursed. And I mean, cursed is in the sense of just negative vomit coming out of someone else's mouth about you. You know, speaking words that of death. We want words of life spoken to us. Let's be a people that does that. James says that, you know, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praises and cursings. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. So we just need to learn to bless one another, right? I mean, that's it. I mean, that's great. There's a whole bunch of practical things. Write them down, start doing them. I just encourage you this week, if you hear someone or someone pops into your brain, bless them. You know, especially if you know what their love language is, like chocolate chip cookies. Meatballs with barbecue sauce. You know, the little ones, the little meatball shooters, all day long. So you have a meatball, and you pop those, and then you have those little Costco cream puffs, you know, the frozen ones, and they're about the same size. So you're talking like fat goodness with more fat and goodness, and you just, that's another golden rule. The golden rule, anything that's got a golden brown deep fried color to it is going to be delicious. So that's not quite as, you know, it's not the same as, you know, the Matthew 7:12 scripture, but it's in there somewhere. So that's another, you can take that one to the bank and, yeah, earn some interest on it, unfortunately. Just remember also, a moment on the lips, a lifetime on the hips. So, anyways, we're not going to have a song, but what I want to do is I just want to pray for you. And as I'm praying, I just want you to think of someone this week that you can do something kind to, or whatever it is, that you think, okay, I would really like if someone did this for me, and go do that for somebody else. With no, like, well, maybe then I'll get it payback. You know what I mean? None of that. So just pray for you for a minute. Just think about that. We've had a bunch of practical suggestions. Thank you for that. And let's just go. Let's go and be the kind of people that are truly blessed by the Lord, receive his blessing, and then let's go out and let's live our lives to bless other people. Amen? Lord Jesus, I thank you for the amazing sacrifice that you did. As always, God, you are so wonderful. You are so spectacular. You are so gracious and loving and kind to us. And I am overwhelmed at times by just the fact that we get to know you and experience your great love. And Father God, I pray that blessing that you have given us, how you have blessed us to walk with you, you have empowered us, you are healing us, you are taking our brokenness and you are making it whole. All over this place, you are making beauty from ashes. You are lifting us up out of the mud. God, I pray that the blessings we receive in that nature, God, that we would turn around and release to others. I pray for everyone here and those who are watching online, God, that you would speak to their hearts throughout this week to be able to do for somebody the thing that we would like to see done for us. God, and that we would live our lives like that. God, I thank you that you have empowered us to do that. I thank you for the rich beauty of the gospel and how it changes our lives, and not just for the eternal ever after, which is awesome, but here and now, in this midst, we can have hope, we can have life, and we can be agents of change and life here in this community and with the people around us. Thank you, God. I pray your covering and protection over each one this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. God bless you guys. Have a great week. Go live the golden rule.